the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting cam, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed. With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
All right. We're also, you know, on the Progressive Voices Network. Oh, our level is really, really low going into YouTube. Let me work on that now. I don't know what happened there. It's always nice to start out with something that's not quite right. Okay, there we go. That should be better. All right. It's got a mind of its own. You know what? It happens when I have the Zoom window open. I gotta adjust in there because I bet it has something to do with the Zoom stuff. Let's see. Let's try to, I'll play with it when Laffy's here and she will be here because it's adjusting itself. And yes, that's the issue. I love it when we're able to figure things out right off the bat. It's a Zoom issue. How do I get it to stop doing that? Maybe if I do. Oh, it had automatically adjust microphone volume clicked. All right. I turned that off. We should be good to go now. So let me know if all of a sudden the audio jumps up or down. But I think that fixed it. So, hi. Welcome to a Tuesday. And it's not just any Tuesday. Laffy's here, and we'll get to her in just a moment, okay? But I do have some, personal news to share first. I have a date for my surgery, and it's a week from tomorrow. So in case you haven't been here recently, I have to have surgery on my right eye. So it is happening a week from tomorrow. It is called, the condition is vitreomacular traction. And the surgery, and it's probably way too much information, but anyway, vitrectomy membrane peel of the right eye. Sounds thrilling, right? So figure next week, Wednesday is the surgery, and I'll be off Thursday and Friday. So I'm going to put together some shows to run. They'll be audio only. Through the Progressive Voices Network. So all you YouTubers have to remember those days to tune into PV, and listen to the audio stream there. But I am taking requests. If there's an interview that you've heard over the years that you would like to hear repeated, let me know. Send me an email, nicole@nicolesandler.com, and I'll do my best to accommodate as many requests as I can fit in. I know somebody was asking for a repeat of the Steve Van Zandt interview. You know, he was on when his book came out, Steve Van Zandt, of course, of the E Street Band and Sopranos. So that's on the list. So feel free to give other suggestions too. You know what? Let's not wait any longer. There's so much to talk about. And so let's get Laffy on the line, shall we? Well, we start like this. Oops. Oh, that is how we do it.
Gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. Woo. It's Tuesdays with a Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
I almost forgot how this worked. Hello?
Hi. You know what?
There you are.
Yeah, I'm here.
You did too.
I'm just trying to center myself because suddenly in the image, I'm like,
yeah,
way over.
You are. You know, no, you're what? Moving the wrong
no.
way. You're moving the wrong
well,
way.
I can't go any further.
Okay.
The other
well,
way.
Then you stay there. Hold on. I'm okay. going to move you over. So, because it's magic, I can do that. So, no, you stay there. You keep moving. It's no, you're like the volume
I'm
here.
To get my chair.
Okay. Whoops.
Trying to get
there
my
we
chair
go.
From
right
moving.
There.
Oh, good, good, good.
See?
No, my chair was sliding back on its own. So I was
slip sliding away. Slip sliding Ooh. Away. Yeah. Sorry, I always, you know, song titles come to me when I'm supposed to be thinking about other things. It's just one of those weird quirks in my in my head. So I was talking, you know, in the chat room, the YouTube chat room before the show began, because a few people were in there, and we were talking about art. We're going to get into the good stuff in a few minutes. So, you know, I do the pet portraits, and then I started doing this faux stained glass stuff. Like I have the sun thing behind me, the window, which by the way, was accepted into the Broward Art Guild show that's happening in the next month.
Good.
So I have to bring it over to them on Saturday. Hopefully it'll sell there. So we'll see. Yeah, I'm trying. So, but do you see the other things behind me? I've started playing with mosaics, and I made the tiles. Here, let me show you. Let me just grab this one, if I can. So, I made the tiles, the mosaic tile. You like that? Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
I really like this. I made the mosaic tiles out of old CDs. Old CDs,
really?
CDs and DVDs, and you take them apart. And then you put paint in like on top, and then you layer the shapes that you want to make, and then you stick it in a toast. I have a toaster oven out in the backyard, which it's an old beat up toaster oven that we won't use for food anymore. But then you stick them in there for like 20 minutes and they melt and they make these cool tiles.
How did you know to do that?
Just playing. I play.
I get creative. You just like stuck them in a toaster oven
as an
experiment?
Well, no. YouTube University.
Oh, okay.
I saw somebody else did it, and I thought, that's cool.
Okay.
And then this weekend, I get these stupid creative bugs up my ass. So it's like the painting is not enough, and the mosaic now stuff. So now I've got all these books. You know, I'm trying to get rid of everything before we move. So I'm offering books. If you guys listen to an interview that you liked and you want to read the book, check with me because chances are I still have it. No, I've got some that are older that I can't sell. Nobody wants to take them in donations. So I decide, you know how I'm obsessed with boxes? I like boxes. I've been painting boxes and doing fun things with boxes, right? Well, now I'm making book boxes. So this one, I cut out the middle and made a little hiding place. I glued all the edges together so that it just looks like a book.
Well, people use those to hide jewelry.
Yes, you can hide jewelry and other things. And then with this one, I completely took out the insides and I made a little cardboard thing. I'm not done with either one of these yet, but so I'm just, you know, I can't sit still at night.
Now put the books in the toaster oven and see.
Yeah, well, then they'd burn. So, but maybe I'll put like CDs on top of them and let them melt onto the cover.
Oh man.
That's what I do in my spare time. While I'm watching TV or listening to something, I have to keep occupied.
You've lost all control.
I have ADD, and so I need to be multitasking at all times. If I sit down and just try to watch television, I'll fall asleep.
Oh, me too.
Right. So
I'm not ADD. I just I unwind. So I'm like, I just lost connection on the chat. What happened?
Oh
here?
No. Now, which
there it comes.
I enjoy comes. Making okay. book safes. Oh, Kelly Donahue. So do you do things like that too? Yes, you put your weed in there. Exactly.
Good idea.
Exactly. Although it's not illegal anymore, so you don't really have to hide it, but, you know, to be polite. So, laughter. There's a lot of news going on, just a lot of stuff.
A lot of different, like I was telling you earlier, it's like a smattering. It's like somebody just held all the news shit and put it up to the fan.
And let it see what sticks, right? And, of course, you know, part of what's sticking is Trump. No matter what, we just can't get away from that guy. He just sucks all the air out of the room.
Or you could have stopped after sucks. Well, sucks.
There's that too. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I need this.
Yeah.
I was a little late on the uptake there, but I need to keep this handy. There you go.
Yeah.
No, you're right, Errol Thomas. Weed never killed anyone. Yes, and Hernan says, just like I need TV and use it as white noise. Well, that's how I sleep. I can't sleep if there's just silence in the room. I need the noise. So I turn the TV on to something that is not going to be too interesting.
Right.
So it doesn't keep me awake.
But it kind of lulls you because otherwise your thoughts intrude. I mean, that's what happens to me. I'll turn on the TV as a diversion. I don't care about the show particularly. Mm-hmm. And then before I know it, my thoughts are just gone.
Right.
And I can fall asleep.
The silence is very loud.
Yes.
Yes. So anyway,
that's very deep.
So Laffy, you are you're back in California now, but you're heading back up to Canada next week. Yes.
Sunday. I've been here almost a month already.
Wow.
We got back September 3rd or 1st or
April.
I'm sorry,
August. Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. We're bad. That's not good.
Okay. I knew it was an A August. Month.
Oh my God. Anyway, we got back at the beginning of the month. How's that? And spent a month of August here. And then we're going back for another month. Now, this trip will be the fun one. This trip, we're setting up housekeeping in our new townhouse.
Woo! So now this is no longer an Airbnb. This is like where you're going to live a house for the next year or so. Like you signed a full
lease. A year, until we can actually buy. This is a lease. And we have to stay in an Airbnb for a little while because we already reserved it and we have no place to sleep yet.
Until you get the place furnished. Right. Because I was saying, I get that they're not going to refund your money. But if you have a place you can move into that's going to be more permanent, you don't have to. You just have to pay them for it. But if you don't have any place to stay, well, you furnish it and get it ready. Yes.
Yeah, that's why we decided to keep it for a couple of weeks at least. But the Airbnb. So I've ordered some things already that will be delivered. Like I know, what day it'll be delivered. Mm-hmm. And then we have all these little timing things because we don't want anything to be delivered before we're there.
Right.
So I have to keep checking delivery days. Like, when are you expected to deliver this when I order it? So like I have to order the bed, like a platform for the bed. I have it written down on August 29th. I have to do that on August 26th. I have to order something else. And I had to order something 2 days ago to get it there on the 12th,
Do you have any idea how the Canadian mail system is? I mean, it's got to be better than ours.
This isn't really by mail, though.
Shipping.
It's FedEx or shipping somehow. Yeah. We're also going to ship a huge, huge box of stuff that we're of our own so that it will be there within a few days of when we arrive. And then we have to go shopping, which I cannot wait. I don't care what I shop for. I love shopping. Mm-hmm. It could be, plumbing equipment. I don't care. So we have to shop for all the household items, pots and pans and oven mitts and sheets and you name it. It's just going to be like setting up a new house.
Yeah. Well, like Allison just moved into an apartment and we like thrifting. We like going to thrift stores and seeing what you can find. And so when we move, and it's going to be in that, got to deal with the eye first and then move sometime in the next month or so. Mm-hmm. We're not going to take a whole lot of stuff. Anybody need anything? I got stuff. If you're in South Florida and you need stuff, call me. Where I live, South Florida is filled with these like stupid gated communities and they all have these rules. So I'm not allowed to have a yard sale or garage sale here. So, which really sucks. So, I just have to give stuff away.
Well, when we finally get to sell our house and buy a house there, that's going to be us. I'm going to have to dump a bunch of stuff I don't need because we're going to be downsizing a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, I totally get what you're saying. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's kind of a pressure cooker when you actually are buying and selling and moving and, but it's like good pressure, but it's a pressure cooker.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Well, and right now I'm racing against the clock. You should see me.
Yeah.
Because with my ADD, I start in my office and I put a few things in a box and then I wind up in the living room thinking, oh, there's something there that needs to go in this box. And then I wind up out there for an hour. And then I say, oh, shit, I was in my office. I was doing things. In addition, because, I'm a glutton for punishment, I've started on this new project and it's a biggie. it's uploading all of these music hall performances, these interviews from this radio station that I worked at in Los Angeles 30 years ago. 30 years ago, God. Onto the Internet Archive. It's where stuff can live forever. And these...
What's the Internet Archive?
Go to archive.org.
Oh, and really?
Archive.org. And that's where you can find all of the audio and even video recordings that people upload there. Then they have the Wayback Machine. It's also at archive.org. So, for instance, that radio station that went off the air in 1997, much of it is archived. So there are certain days, it'll bring up the calendar. And what's so wild is this was back at the beginning of the internet. So I look up KSCA.com. That was that radio station, mm-hmm. right? And there's stuff, you know, recent, I guess somebody has that URL now, not the radio station. I don't know who it is.
Right.
There's
right.
newer stuff archived. But if you go all the way back to the beginning, it's around mm-hmm. 1996. They have the first entries there. And that's my radio station. So now I'm going to team it up. Yeah.
Do they do that with the written word too, or just with,
should be? I bet the recording. Political Carnival is archived up there. So it.
Oh my God!
Yes, I'm almost positive. Hold on.
Look at me. I'm a tree. Oh.
You're what?
You turned me into a tree.
Oh, I didn't mean to turn you into a tree. Hold on. In fact, this is the first time I thought about it. But let me do this. I'm going to bring up. On this side. So Laffy, talking to the listeners, used to run this website called the Political Carnival. That's where you were when we met. And it was, what was it? ThePoliticalCarnival.com?
.net. ThePoliticalCarnival.net. And originally it was Cliff Schechter and Patty Kraska and me.
Right.
Cliff had to leave because he had a conflict of interest at that time because he was working for the Ohio government, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it was Patty and me.
Yep.
And then Patty passed away and I came over to your site at that point.
Yep. Right.
But so we finally had to get rid of the domain because we, you know, we're paying for nothing.
Right.
We weren't
now,
using it.
Okay. Now check this out. So you go to archive.org. And you come up.
Write this down.
I'm showing you on the screen. Watch on the screen. Yeah. So that's
the Wayback,
right? This is that is the Wayback Machine, but it's archive.org. So
is that their?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't.
So
know that.
You see? Oh, okay. Shoot. Okay, I'm not taking calls right now, you guys. So you see the first entry here is from 2010. Yeah. So I'm going to click on that, and then it brings up this calendar, and all these dates are where they have a snapshot. So let me pull up this one. Sometimes it's a little slow. So I'm clicking on August 15th, 2010. So we're going back almost exactly 12 years. And there's two snapshots here. So let's see what it brings up. And I bet it's going to be something very familiar. It'll come. It's slow because it's pulling.
Yeah, it's retrieving.
That's one of your... There you are. Laffy and Patty.
Oh,
my God. And it's Sunday, August 15th, 2010. Frank Rich, most who are against marriage equality now say they really, really like gay people. So here's your post. So now from here, we can go to the home. It's pretty wild. The this is a real time suck. You can get stuck in there. Oh, this is just showing this page. Okay. So this is a snapshot in time. Isn't that cool?
And then can you click on the
sometimes,
link?
Sometimes the links work.
Oh my God. Can you search for something or does it have to be by date?
No, you can't. You put in the URL. So I did thepoliticalcarnival.net and it showed me that calendar. Right. So then it brings that up. Now you could see up here on top. I can go to here. I don't know what date this is. July 18th, 2014. And it's redirecting to. Yeah. See, there's nothing there. Anyway,
I can't look up a specific. If I remembered something I wrote and needed it as a reference, I could not look up under the title or under the subject.
I doubt it unless. Yeah. I don't know. You're going to have to go in and play. I don't know.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. But it's pretty wild, isn't it? It's so cool.
I knew about it. Rachel Maddow years ago used to use them a lot on TV.
Uh-huh.
And I always thought it was really cool. And I totally forgot about them. I mean, until you just now talked about it, out of my head.
Right.
So now I wrote it down. I'm going to look it up. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's quite cool. And that radio station that I told you about, KSCA, let me see how quickly it'll bring something up. But I just got to show you what we did. We had one of the very first radio station websites anywhere. I mean, we're talking 96 here. Let me show you this because it's pretty, pretty wild. So when I pulled up KSCA.com and you see there's all these other entries, we're going to go all the way back to 1996, the first ones, right?
Yeah.
And then if you look on here, November 8th, 1996, there's one snapshot. And wait till you see our loading page. This was the landing page for the website. It was Albert Einstein wearing an FM 101.9 sweatshirt holding a guitar. It says, click my brain. This was a listener, a guy named Chris Doe, who did this. And here's our website. And check this. This was such an early website. I designed it with the guy, my friend Zach Zallin, who was one of the bookers of the Troubadour. And we used to sit in his office in the back room. That tuner was the actual tuner, the stereo that he had. He photocopied it. This was my idea to make the navigation bar like a radio tuner. And so you go like click on program guide. I don't know if it'll work from here. Yeah. This doesn't work. But the text links at the bottom do. So if I go enter the studio.
Oh, my God.
It's
so some
wild.
Of the links do work.
Yes, some of them do and some of them don't. So this one didn't. The enter the studio didn't. But if you go to, I'm going to try one more program guide, see if this works. Nope. Yeah. See, some of them do. Now, here, Lyrically Speaking was a game we played. This one I know works because I've been there, where I'd read a song lyric here, like here. It's been a long, cold, lonely winter. And you had to figure out the song title and the artist who did it. And that's an easy one.
God,
come on. It's been a long, cold, lonely winter.
Oh, it's the Beatles.
Yes. What song?
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm not going to think. You know, I told you today, I can't think. I can't think of the title.
Here Comes the Sun.
Here Comes the Sun. Thank
That's
you.
All.
I can see
so
it
anyway,
in my head, but
so
I can't think.
So now what I'm doing is I have all these tapes of all these music hall performances. And we had so many artists in there. In fact, let me see if that shows up here. The music hall. Check this out. This is so cool. So there's the music hall, right? And then we can go into the music hall archives. And it should show a list. Yep. These are the 3 years we were on the air. So let's go to 95 for the hell of it. And it shows you a list of all the artists who came in and performed. Isn't this wild? So we have tapes of most of them. And I'm uploading them into the Internet Archive so they will live on there.
Ooh.
So that's my other project that I'm working on.
God. That's a huge project.
Right?
That's
and it's with a friend, a guy named Bruce Greenberg, who was a listener, who has been digitizing them. So he's doing the actual digitizing from the original DAT tape, the digital audio tapes, and uploading them, and I'm taking them and loading them onto the internet. So,
I
you know, in my spare
word
time.
I haven't heard DAT in so long. Oh,
I know.
God.
And I've got a DAT player here that I just keep because it's the only way to play those tapes.
God, that's so,
because I don't have enough to do.
Right, I know. Well, it'll keep you busy until you're 80.
Yes, right. So it's a project. But I'll tell you something. That's a radio station that went off the air in 1997 that people, I still hear from people saying, God, I miss KSCA. And I do, too. It's a big part of my life. Anyway, so now that's what I'm doing in my spare time. Artwork, uploading, digitizing, Wayback Machining. So the reason this has been on my mind so much is that's one of the things I'm doing in my spare time.
Spare time.
Yes. Right?
Really?
So anyway. Anyway, so here we should we do some tweets and talk about the news?
Yeah, forgot about that.
I know. We got to get there. All right, so don't forget the birdies fly around and they often leave little gifts, so cover your head.
Oh.
Okay. Welcome to my tweet.
Tweet. Okay. So there's so much. So where do we begin?
I added some.
Did you? And I've got a few too, actually. So,
Okay. Right. Well, I'll try to go kind of fast. Anyway, the big story that's been going on is Trump with his little warrant.
Oh, wait a minute. One second. Jack, who's Rant86 on Twitter, just said, I missed if you mentioned that wayback/archive.org moved to Canada, he wrote, I think, due to iffy net freedom in the U.S. That's interesting.
Oh, now that is interesting. You know, I think I did hear that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Huh. I forgot
so,
about that.
So anyway,
thank
there's
you,
that.
Jackie.
Thank you, Jack.
I call him Jackie.
Okay.
He and I go way back. I sent him a T-shirt from Mr. Lappy's show, as I recall.
Oh, that's anyway, the fact, Jack. Okay.
Joel Rubin, who is the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, he and I have become buddies, sort of. And so I decided to tweet him, to retweet him. And this was, of course, remember, this is for Trump's memoirs, he said. Mr. Trump went through the boxes himself, the boxes of stolen documents, in late 2021. Think about that just for a second. He went through the boxes himself in late 2021, according to multiple people briefed on his efforts, before turning them over.
Yeah, you know what? He did. He actually, he said, don't give them these, don't give them those. You know why he said don't give them those?
I am supporting DeSantis.
Whoops, that's the wrong one. that's something I got to play for you. But, oh, what did I do with it?
I don't know.
Oh, here it is. You know what? Let me set it up again. You know what he said when he's like, they can take those, but they can't have these. You know why?
Why?
It's mine. It's all mine.
Little things amuse
me. Anyway, Joel goes on to say, this is all you need to know about who's to blame. Hint, it's not Mark Meadows. Nope, it's Trump.
Yeah.
Trump got his little tiny teeth because he wanted to sift through them, as it were. Anyway.
There were 300 classified documents that they realized last night. Every day we get a little more information about these documents. Over 300.
A lot of highly classified. I'm sorry, what?
Over 300 highly classified documents. And he said, they're mine.
Well, they're not.
No, they're not.
And if anybody thinks they are, they're sadly mistaken and delusional. All right, so the next one is from Chris Geidner, who I just love. He's a legal and political journalist. And he said, I think, do I have a couple of these or is this a thread? Hold on one little second.
Now you're sounding like
I got a couple of these. Chris said, things are going great for Team Trump. Two of his lawyers just got their pro-hack vice admission motions denied, whatever those are, denied. Because they didn't file them right. Pro-hack vice motions are seeking permission to practice in a court where you are not admitted.
Okay.
So remember that everybody said he was pro se, meaning Trump was doing this on his own?
Yes.
No, they just screwed up. They just had a bunch of screw-ups online, and they had trouble getting it on. Let me get rid of this one. I got to move you a little bit over here. Let me get rid of that one and then go on to the next one, which is And my comment is every day the news gets worse for Team Trump because, you know, the best people.
Yes.
Empty Will goes on about this. She said, basically, the judge is saying, and by the way, this is a Trump judge.
Okay. A Trump judge.
The Trump judge is saying, to Trump's people and to Trump, why did you bring this to me rather than Judge Reinhardt? Two, what can I do that Judge Reinhardt can't?
Okay.
Three.
Oh, yeah. Keep going.
There's five of them.
Okay.
Five of them. You know, without an injunction, this is useless, right? Four. Why the fuck did you bring this to me? Five. You're supposed to tell DOJ about this.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Judge. So there is an office 5 minutes from Mar-a-Lago where he could have brought this.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's where Judge Reinhardt is. He went instead further north
67 miles
up to like Fort Pierce, right? Because there was one of his judges there and he thought this guy's going to do my bidding. And the guy, lo and behold, is a legitimate judge. Go figure.
It's a she.
It's a she.
And my buddy Water Tiger NYC said, so much for judge shopping. Because yesterday that was the story. He's judge shopping. And I was frankly worried that that would pay off. But you know what? We're lucky it did.
Yes, because some of his judges will do that shit. Thankfully, not all of them.
I'll tell you, though, she laid into him. I mean,
good.
She didn't like, you know, call him names or anything, but she didn't pull any punches. She was basically laughing and pointing and saying, are you serious?
Wow.
This ain't going to work, buddy. So, yeah.
Awesome. I love hearing that. That made my day. that really made my day because I was thinking, God damn it. You know, he's going around Reinhardt and then he's using one of his judges who's going to bend over backwards for him. Thank you, judge, whatever your name is.
Right. I forgot her name. She was like, what are you doing? Why are you giving this to me? It's Reinhardt's territory, guy. Just, you know, that. And plus, it was clearly what she was saying was clearly, you don't know how to do this right.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's helping you is not helping you.
Right.
So,
wow.
Yeah, that didn't pay off at all.
No. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is about Dr. Oz. Did you have anything more to say about Trump?
Oh, I've got plenty to say about Trump, but I'd rather not.
You want to wait? Okay. Well, we're on to Dr. Oz. Okay,
Dr. Oz.
Doctor, in quotes. My dad was a doctor. This guy's no doctor. And Sarah Reese Jones of Politico's USA, who's a lovely person, she said, the Dr. Oz camp said, quote, I have a little thread here.
Okay.
If John Fetterman had ever eaten a vegetable in his life, then maybe he wouldn't have had a major stroke.
Oh my God.
He said that out loud.
Oh my God.
You know, in so many words.
He's not a doctor. Let me say that.
No.
He's not a doctor.
And so Noah Berlatsky, who is on the editorial board of NBC Think, The Independent, The Atlantic, whatever. He said, so Oz's strategy is to attack people who have had strokes and shame people for not eating vegetables in Pennsylvania? Okay. And then Dan Pfeiffer said, Dr. Oz really leaning into the rich elitist asshole vibe. And then finally, I have a follower named Molly Katzen.
Okay.
And she's an author. And so, and she said, I was on Dr. Oz's radio show in around 2010, live and in person. As the two of us sat together talking, I noticed how pale he was and underweight, low energy, run down. He was cordial, but distracted and slumped in his chair. He seemed so unwell. And then Sarah Reese Jones answered that and said, that's sad, especially for someone like him who pushes magic pills.
And I would guess eats vegetables crudités.
Yeah.
Yes.
Crudités.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Crudité.
By the way, let me just something that I should have jumped on when you quoted Marcy Wheeler, Empty Wheel. She's going to be here tomorrow, live,
good.
Right at the start of the show. So, in fact, she said, hold on. I think we can do it right at 5 o'clock your time. Let me check the hearing schedule. And then she said, so 5 p.m. Let me look at the hearing schedule. And she said, okay, 5 p.m. your time, 9 p.m. mine. That seems to work. So Marcy Wheeler, Empty Wheel, will be here tomorrow.
Well, that is good timing.
Yes, because there's so much going on.
I was quote tweeting her all day yesterday with this warrant stuff. Or was it today? I forgot what day it is.
Both, probably, because she's nonstop. Yeah. She's doing, and she is my source. So
I get to
just question her. She knows her shit. So again.
Well, not only does she know her shit, but she's no bullshit.
No.
You know, she doesn't dance around and try to please. She is saying what is reality, or at least up until the point that she reports it, what the reality. Oh, there I go again.
Yeah, sorry.
What the reality is. That's okay. You know, and then if she's wrong, she'll come back out and say, no, that was wrong. Here's what the deal is. You know,
right.
But there's no bullshit with her.
No.
I love that.
Yep.
And she knows I love that. Okay, now we're on to Twitter.
Twitter. I saw this guy this morning on CNN. Apparently, CNN.
Mudge.
CNN had an exclusive And, well, tell everybody what happened. And then if we want, okay. I can play some of it.
Okay. Well, this was from Apple News. And it was Twitter's former top security official alleged that the company's executives endangered national security through, quote, egregious deficiencies in privacy and security, and systematically misled users, members of its board, investors, and government officials about those vulnerabilities. Zatko accuses Twitter executives of lying about bots to Elon Musk, shareholders, and Twitter users, alleging that the platform has far more spam accounts than it lets on, mm-hmm. and that executives are disincentivized to count them properly because doing so would negatively affect their bonuses. Zatko also says Twitter is beset by fundamental architectural flaws that allow too many employees God mode access to its systems, making the platform vulnerable to hackers and to influence by foreign intelligence agencies.
Wow.
His disclosures allege that Twitter executives hired two people whom he believes were Indian government agents and put them in positions with, quote, direct unsupervised access, unquote, to internal Twitter data and information. This was just one example of Twitter's, quote, negligence and even complicity with respect to efforts by foreign governments to infiltrate, control, exploit, surveil, and or censor, unquote, the platform, its staff, and operations. And then Empty Wheel, Marcy, said, mm-hmm. gee, maybe if we're lucky, Elmo, meaning Elon, will excuse Mudge's disclosures to save us all from him buying Twitter, and Jack will be entirely ousted, and we can finally have security and an edit button. And Brian Fung is a tech reporter for CNN, this is what you were talking about. He said the Twitter whistleblower's bombshell report has big implications for Elon Musk and isn't just about bots. The security allegations could constitute, quote, a material adverse effect, giving Musk more leverage to pull out. He goes on to say Senator Blumenthal says in a letter to the FTC, the agency should fine and hold Twitter executives personally accountable if it is found that they were responsible for violations of the FTC Act or Twitter's consent order. The FTC's own credibility is on the line, Blumenthal says. He also goes on to say that Senator Markey blasts what he calls a culture of impunity at Twitter, calling on DOJ and FTC to investigate the Twitter whistleblower's allegations of security vulnerabilities and deception. He goes on to say the Twitter whistleblower's report to Congress was edited to omit details of his foreign intel allegations, but the full unedited package with further supporting documents was sent to DOJ's National Security Division as well as the Senate Intel Committee.
Wow. Yeah, so he's basically saying that Twitter is sort of just open, that anybody who works there can basically. Yeah. Did you hear? He made an analogy, and the analogy was like in an airplane, everybody has access to the cockpit. All the staff and the passengers all have access to the cockpit. That's the analogy he made, and that's
not
a good
thing. That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Because you can visualize that one.
Yes,
you know?
You can.
And you know, and a bunch of us on Twitter, and I'm trying to think, I can't remember who, but a bunch of us were saying we have noticed, like I've talked about this on Twitter, oh my God, I don't know how many times in the last year or so. I used to report all these trolls, mm-hmm. and then I would get acknowledgement, and often I would get a notification from Twitter on Twitter, a long list of all the trolls who they either suspended or punished in some way, or at least acknowledged to their faces, you did this, you're on, you know, probation or something.
Right.
And I would get an email telling me that. So they don't do that anymore.
No.
I have been, I report egregious trolls. I mean, really bad harassers, and they are totally excused by Twitter. So I believe every word of this.
Okay.
What are you reading?
I do. No, I just saw a tweet from Marcy just popped up.
Uh-huh.
And it says, the whole time I've been waiting for Trump to do something legally to stop DOJ from sorting through the seized file, I hear this. And she's got a video embedded, but I'm going to just play it and hear what it says.
Wait.
Oh, it's the Jeopardy theme song. All right. I didn't know what she was getting at. The whole time I've been waiting for Trump to do something legally to stop DOJ from sorting through the seized file, I hear that. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
She'd be good. She'd be real good. Moving on to Rick Scott, your favorite person.
Yes. Rick Scott.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well,
okay.
I'll
read you the thing, and then I think you had something.
I do. I have a tweet, I believe. Yes.
Okay. Well, here it's Elena Treen of Axios said, new. Rick Scott is spending part of his congressional recess on a luxury yacht in Italy with his family while Republicans face cash problems and rough headlines about their midterm chances.
Now, again, Rick Scott
recently attacked Biden for vacationing in Delaware.
Right. Now, right? Rick Scott chairs the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee. So the Senate races, that's his bailiwick or whatever the word is. That's his job. And he's off in Italy on a yacht. By the way, on a yacht. Oliver Willis.
And the hashtag was Luxury Yacht Scott. And then let me read you one more. Two more. Steve Bannon, who runs Mattoblog, said the problem for Rick Scott is not just that the NRSC chair headed to Italy to vacation on a yacht while his candidate struggled. It's also that somebody familiar with his travel itinerary, like a staffer, a fellow GOP leader, wants us all to know this. Somebody ratted him out.
That's
something to think about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Jesse Ferguson.
The actor?
Jesse Ferguson.
No.
No.
Okay. Oh, he's a Politico. He's a Politico guy, right?
Yeah, a Dem strategist guy. He said, wondering how many Medicare patients you have to defraud in order to afford a yacht in Italy. Asking for a friend.
Yes. Well, let me tell you. So the Rick Scott, what he tweeted was, you got to appreciate the irony here. Rick Scott says, another week of President Biden vacationing in Delaware versus working at the White House. If he loves travel so much, I've got some suggestions as to where he should go next. And
Italy?
An arrow down. I guess that's like to hell, an arrow pointing down. And so
such
somebody, Nani Walalele, retweeted that with the message, how's Italy, Rick? And then Oliver Willis said, breaking photo of Rick Scott on his luxury yacht. And I don't even know how to describe this. It's the Monopoly Man, but it's not. It's a top-hatted
like
creature
Peanut.
With a monocle and a mustache.
Right, and a mustache.
With a glass
holding
of wine.
Holding up a glass of wine.
Yes.
Yeah, looking very full.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, Rick Scott, really? He's complaining about Biden going to Delaware? What? It's a 30-minute ride from D.C. to his house in Delaware. When Donald Trump
is the key word.
His own home, where Trump would go on these golfing trips and charge the Secret Service the top rate for rooms. So we were subsidizing his many, many vacations. How dare you, Rick Scott? Piece of shit. God.
He is horrible.
He is horrible.
He's just horrible.
He's Voldemort. Just horrible.
He is.
Oh, that was Mr. Peanut's friend. Okay.
And that's what I said.
And Chris says, that's not fair to wine.
Yeah, I know. It's really, maybe it's hemlock. Okay, here's a headline.
Yeah.
Guilty. That's my word, guilty.
Okay.
A federal jury has convicted two men of conspiring to kidnap Michigan Governor Whitmer.
Finally.
In a plot prosecutors described as rallying cry for a U.S. civil war by anti-government extremists.
Right. And what happened was the last time there was a trial, there were no convictions. So I'm glad they finally got somebody on this because this was a plot to kidnap Governor Whitmer from Michigan.
Yeah. I know. And it's two of them got into jail. So once in a while, justice works.
Once in a while.
And when it does, it's so good. So this was, all right.
Yes.
This is just a tweet with a snarky response.
Okay.
Roger Parloff is a journalist for Lawfare. And he said, many January 6th defendants, and this is true, this is the thing, are trying to transfer their cases out of D.C. to districts where they claim they can find more, quote, impartial, unfair jurors.
Impartial.
And so SB Dante, I don't know how to say his name, of HuffPost.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? The people in D.C. are all anti-coup. No fair.
Right. It's just like, you know, not that I think anything, but I applied for a job in Portland. This will be happy for all the people yelling at me, don't go to Arizona. So I applied for a job. Doesn't mean I'll get it, but I applied for a job. And I mentioned it to David. It's like, sorry, you can deal with the weather there. It snows like 3 inches a year. It's not a big deal.
And it's like, just like Vancouver.
Right. Pacific Northwest is temperate and it's getting warmer, people. So anyway, and he said, oh, but there's a lot of Antifas there. And I said, good. I'll feel right at home.
Yay. Oh, well, I'm going to move to Antifa City.
Yes. That's maybe. You never know. Yeah.
I think that's a good little place to live. So this is so weird. According to local10.com, so it's a local station.
That's down here, right?
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's what they call themselves, local10.com, the ABC local affiliate, 10. Yes.
Oh, is that ABC?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. A third resident of the villages.
Of the villages, yes.
Admits to voting twice in the 2020 election.
Yes.
Now, isn't it weird how they're all registered Republicans? And isn't it infuriating how a black woman didn't even know she was ineligible to vote when she cast a provisional ballot, but she was sentenced to 5 years?
Yes. And here's the deal. Rick Scott, moron death sentence. Sorry, I get the two confused. the current governor, just announced, had a press conference the other day to announce that his secret police arrested 20 people from down here, the blue part of the state where I live, who were felons, convicted felons who served their time. And then I guess thought they could vote. They didn't realize that they couldn't. We actually passed a constitutional amendment to give them back their vote here in Florida once they serve their debt to society. And Rick Scott, again, boy, death sentence, did his magic to make sure that didn't happen. He put in like a poll tax, basically saying, no, they have to pay every penny of fines and fees and whatever for their incarceration before they can vote, tying it up in the courts again and nullifying our vote to let these felons who've paid their debt to society have the vote again. So 20 people out of how many million in Florida voted? 20. Yeah,
somebody did the percentage, just like a 0.0051382% of voters. And, well, you know, he's a fascist.
So he had those people arrested, but these three who from the villages who were Republicans who knew they were committing a crime, voted for their dead spouse, you know, filled out the ballot of their dead spouse for their Republican dictators, that they're okay. They can slide. There was no press conference and no arrest in those cases. But down here in South Florida, in the blue part of the state, people who just legitimately thought they could vote and nobody stopped them.
Well, here's arrested. All three of these people who, you know, from the villages, all three were facing a maximum of 5 years in prison if a jury convicted them of the third degree felony, a fourth resident of the sprawling retirement community. John Ryder is still awaiting trial.
Ooh.
Ryder has pleaded not guilty. Under the pre-trial intervention contracts, prosecution of three that we're talking about will be deferred for a period of 18 months with the possibility that it will be permanently deferred if they successfully complete the court-ordered requirements, including refraining from violating any laws, possessing firearms,
blah, blah, blah.
So basically, they're getting off scot-free.
Of course. Now, I wonder what are going to happen with these 20. He's going to destroy their lives because these are people who recently got out of jail, and he's going to send them back because he's a piece of shit.
The point.
Yes.
Yeah, he's horrible.
By the way, can I share this with you? I don't know if I played it when you were here, but a couple of days ago, I played the ad that he's running, and it's all about, it's letters from alleged Floridians thanking him for making Florida free. Oh, Governor DeSantis, thank you for we live in a free state. Keep Florida free. Well, he just
who is the one that did
what
the commercial with the helmet? The one are you talking about the new commercial he just put out?
Yes, I'm about to show you that. So he put out a new commercial today.
Yeah,
it's called Top Gov, as you know, like Top Gun, Top Gov, and prepare yourselves. This is that. Freedom Headquarters, it says Florida.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your governor speaking.
Yeah.
Today's training evolution, dogfighting, taking on the corporate media.
The rules of engagement are as follows. Number one, don't fire unless fired upon. But when they fire, you fire back with overwhelming force.
Does it say that in the bill?
I'm asking
you to tell me what's in the bill.
Number two, never, ever back down from a fight.
If I could complete the question, though.
So you're going to give a speech or ask a question?
Number three, don't accept their narrative.
It's wrong. It's a fake narrative. I just disabused you of the narrative, and you don't care about the facts.
It's why people don't trust people like you, because you peddle false narratives.
Oh, all right, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's jump up on you.
Teaching his kid to be a fascist, too. What a piece of shit he is.
All that is trolling.
Yeah.
It's just trolling.
It's trolling. He's saying, look how I diss the media. Aren't I cool? I'm just like Trump. Ugh.
That's right. Well, he's a smarter, better politically at certain things.
Better educated.
Definitely better educated. And I hope we have time. I want to talk to you about something I heard Pam Keith say.
Okay.
Do you know who Pam Keith is?
She ran for Senate. Ran for the Senate from Florida. She did run for the Senate, but yes, I know who she is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was talking to Dino Badala yesterday on his show, and she was saying Nikki Fried versus
Charlie Crist. Yeah.
And she said, I don't either one, you know, if they win, that's good. She said, but politically she was edging toward Crist because she thinks that he could attract the voters in Florida better than Fried could by trying, because if she tries to stand up to this bullshit that, you know, and snarking and trolling that DeSantis throws at her, she doesn't think it would play with, you know, that she could succeed as well as Crist, who already has a following and appeals to a certain voter that Nikki Fried couldn't.
Yes.
What did you think about that?
I totally agree. I voted for Charlie Crist. I did. And, you know, But I voted for him for a number of reasons. One, between the two of them, I know him. Look, he's a known commodity.
That's
he was the governor.
Exactly.
He was a Republican. But as my friend and at the time co-worker Jim DeFede said, who's one of the best political journalists in the nation, let alone Florida, he said Charlie Crist is the best Democratic governor Florida has had in decades. And he was a Republican at the time. He did things that went against the party. He extended early voting hours. He protected teachers who were under fire. He did some really good things. And would I prefer? Look, 4 years ago, we had a guy named Andrew Gillum who came this close to beating DeSantis. DeSantis was a backbencher who nobody ever heard of until Trump elevated him. He was a nothing burger. I hate that term, but there you go. Now he's like, he's just drunk on his own power and the ugliness that Trump puts forth, he mimics. Mm-hmm. It's just disgusting. Right. Charlie Crist, I think, brought up exactly what Pam
brought up about Gillum. She said the same thing. And I was listening to her and I was thinking, she makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't given this any thought. You know, I just haven't. I mean, I keep seeing ads for both and, you know, on Twitter. And
Charlie Crist has a better chance. Look, first of all, he's older. The median age down here is older. We've got
a
lot of retirees. Wow, interesting.
Right.
And the fact that he was a Republican might make some Republicans who just don't like the fascism of DeSantis and Trump say, you know what? We know Charlie Crist. We can vote for him. We can live with him.
Well, you're saying everything that she said with a different voice. I mean, you know, with your spit is sort of, you know, tone to it and everything. Mm-hmm. And I love her, by the way. I just, we got to know each other a tiny bit, and then she ran for office and we didn't talk as much after that. But I'm just really glad to hear you say that, because it was making sense to me, and I felt kind of bad that it made sense to me, you know?
Like, no, and you know what? Nikki Freed has, she did a thing. Let me tell you what she did last weekend.
I don't know anything about
she had an event in Pompano Beach, which is here in Broward County, very blue area, at the church of this right-wing nutjob fucking minister, this guy whose name I hadn't heard in a decade. His name is the Reverend O'Neill Dozier. And he's one of those nutjobs. He used to pal around with Alan West. He went nuts on the fact that an Islamic group was going to build a mosque in Broward County and went berserk. This is, and apparently he left the Republican Party because of Trump. That's all well and good, but he's still a bigot, a hater, just a horrible excuse for a human being. Yeah. And she does an event with him. Look, I get it that he denounced the Republicans under Trump, but you don't reward him with an event. He's heinous. So when I saw that, it was after I had already voted. I'm like, okay, I did the right thing here.
Yeah. That definitely validated it. Let's see. I have a couple. Oh, I sent you a video of Ron Johnson. Do you
yes,
have that?
You did. And yes, well, I
do
did.
Do you want to play it? And then I'll give you the punchline.
Yeah. Okay. So here's Ron Johnson. I don't want to step on your punchline. So let me just play the video. Ron Johnson, of course, is the senator from Wisconsin who inexplicably unseated Russ Feingold some years ago. Russ Feingold was one of the best senators we had. It seems that the people of Wisconsin finally wised up to who Ron Johnson is. So there's this video.
The campaign's control, the January 6th committee is scheduling more hearings likely in September. Have you been asked to testify? Would you testify?
No, I had nothing to do with January 6th.
If they asked you to testify, though, would you?
What would they ask me to testify about?
The Republican electors. And the slave.
If another grotesque distortion.
Bullshit.
I had nothing to do with the ultimate slate. I had no idea that anybody's going to ask me to deliver those. My involvement in that attempt to deliver spanned the course of a couple seconds.
I think I fielded
three texts and sent two and talked to my chief of staff that somebody wants you to deliver something.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about it.
Right.
In the end, those electors
I know
were not delivered
nothing.
Because we found out from the vice president's staff
nothing.
They didn't want to deliver it. End of story. Again, I know that's been blown out of proportion.
You think so?
The January 6th committee didn't do their due diligence.
Oh, fuck you.
They blew into like some
okay.
No.
Massive
they
conspiracy.
Didn't do their due diligence.
Shut up.
Right.
Oh, shut
please.
Up. And it goes on for another.
Accuse?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so he said, literally, my involvement lasted seconds, okay? So LOL GOP said, not the first time Ron Johnson has bragged about only lasting seconds. But a little sad face.
Aw. And it looks like Mandela Barnes not only is outpolling him and doing, it is predicted to win, but the Republican, I guess, senatorial campaign committee has pulled advertising for the fall from Wisconsin, from Pennsylvania, from Arizona. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes.
That's good. That's good info.
Yes, it
You've
is.
You've given me good info.
Ooh.
Okay. So here's something you'll hate.
Yeah.
This is from an author, Jessica Valenti, and she said, I knew it wouldn't be long before I had to update this. Tudor Dixon, the Republican running for governor in Michigan, she says that raped and impregnated children should be denied abortions because there can be healing through
please.
The baby.
Oh, God.
Healing.
Yeah.
Healing once you've been raped?
To heal, you've got to be injured. Like, it hurt. You need to be sustained damage in order to heal. She's saying, so let's hurt these children even more so that they can eventually heal.
And they will not eventually heal.
No, they will not eventually
heal. When you've been sexually assaulted, you don't forget it too easily. So No. Healing? No.
Yeah.
Sorry. Finally, the last thing I want to say is from Rob's story that the Kansas abortion foes will now go door to door confronting voters after the recount proved that the Kansas voters want back the amendment to make abortion legal, right?
Oh, my God. Legal.
Apparently, they're going to go, this is from Speedbird, they intend to turn to intimidation. They'll knock on the door and talk to you about your vote.
Oh, my God.
And by talk to you about your vote, I mean intimidate
and harass. Well, of course. That goes without saying. That's what they do. And, yeah. And then they'll turn around and say, look what those Democrats are doing. They're intimidating us. Because yeah. That's projection. Because they always accuse the Democrats of doing exactly what they do on a daily basis. Multiple times a day. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. What?
I'm sorry.
What's the matter?
Yes.
What? What's the matter? Who are you talking to? Laffy? Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. It sounded like you were answering somebody else about something different.
Ah.
What are you?
I don't know what's going on. Let me get off your page.
Okay. Oh, you were hearing something on the page.
Now I'm hearing.
Are you hearing yourself like with a delay? Maybe? Okay, stop listening. You can't listen to the page.
I'm not listening. I'm trying to turn it off.
All right. Meanwhile, while you're trying to figure that out, I'm going to show you something that Angie Coiro tweeted out just a short time ago. You might recall years ago, the Ben and Jerry's guys marketed these stamps to stamp your money, like not to be used to bribe politicians and stuff. And so Angie tweeted a picture and she said, I'm going to keep stamping this money until I don't have to anymore. And I'm thinking, are they still doing that? And here's her stamp. It says abortionpillinfo.org. And they're stamping it on cash, thinking that eventually this will just go through people's hands. And there is a way, this abortionpillinfo.org, somebody is making these pills available to women, to girls who need them. And that's a way to get the word out to let them know that this exists. That's kind of cool. Don't you think? You can't even hear me.
Sorry. I can hear you, but you're being over-talked by whatever is coming into my head.
That's weird. Okay, we're done. So,
okay, I'm going to say goodbye so that you don't have to deal with me right now.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
That's
weird.
Weird. Okay, bye, Laffy. Bye. She's got somebody. She's hearing voices, everybody. Gotta laugh is hearing voices. All right. Well, with that, we're done. I keep thinking I'm seeing somebody over there, and it's not. all right. Well, tomorrow, as I already told you, Marcy Wheeler will be here. She will bring us up to speed on everything that's going on with the Trump investigation, with the search warrant, with the January 6th, with everything, because she's on top of it all. Good thing, because I'm certainly not. All right. And then Thursday, Howie will be back. And then Friday, I don't know. We'll figure out something by then. And I will leave you with the news. All right. So thank you for listening, everybody. We'll do it again tomorrow. Be here on time because Marcy will be live beginning right at 5. So I will see you then. Oh, and that's the wrong what's news. So let me bring it up here because I'm glad I caught it and didn't start playing the wrong one. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Thanks for bearing with my weirdness. All right. Bye. Whoops. It would help if I put up the right. Man, just some days I shouldn't even. Okay. Let's try this again.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, today marks 11 weeks until Election Day 2022, and it is finally primary day in Florida, New York, and Oklahoma. In Florida, two Democrats are facing off in a closely watched governor's race primary. The winner will challenge Republican Governor Ron DeSantis in November. In New York, voters will cast their votes in races that were postponed after the state's redistricting process pushed the congressional primaries from June to August and pit some House incumbents
against others. Oklahoma holds primary runoffs today, including the Republican contest for the special Senate election to replace Senator Jim Inhofe when he resigns in January. Now on to the former guy and his legal woes. So Donald Trump's legal team, whoever he was able to convince to work for him, asked a federal judge to appoint a special master, that's a third-party attorney, to go through the documents seized during the search of his Mar-a-Lago residence 2 weeks ago in order to ensure that the Justice Department returns any of Trump's private documents. According to this new lawsuit filed yesterday, the former guy argues that his constitutional rights were violated and that there may have been privileged materials seized. This new suit marks the first legal filing by Trump's team after FBI agents carried out their search on August 8th. And then Monday night, the New York Times with breaking news that the former guy reportedly had more than 300 classified documents that have now been recovered by the federal government. And this, that Trump personally reviewed all of the documents and decided which ones he was going to hold back, calling them, quote, mine.
It's mine. It's all mine.
The Times dropped the story during the 8 o'clock hour Monday night when Chris Hayes was on the air while he was talking with Congressman Eric Swalwell.
The New York Times just reporting there were 300 classified documents, apparently, at Mar-a-Lago, which, again, Jesus. I think... What do you make of that number?
The reason that they're marked top secret means that it often relates to force protection for our troops. So information about where our troops are that we would not want anyone to know because it could put them in harm's way. It could relate to our nuclear posture or the nuclear posture of our adversaries. It could relate to the technical means that we use to collect information to protect our troops and to protect Americans, or the work that we're doing to combat terrorism. And so 300 pages, you know, just, you know, a basement stairway away in an open, you know, beach house is not where you would want that information, especially in the hands of somebody who President Biden deemed should not even be able to receive classified information.
Meanwhile, the federal judge who signed off on the search of Mar-a-Lago said the facts presented to him by the FBI are reliable. And then he added that he may in the end decide to keep the affidavit justifying the search warrant completely secret. He's waiting for the FBI to send over a redacted version of the affidavit to see if it can be released. But he said that the redaction could render the disclosure meaningless, and then added that he'd make a final decision once he gets the papers back. CNN with some breaking news this morning. A former security chief for Twitter filed a whistleblower complaint against the company, warning of major security flaws, extreme mismanagement, and a significant lack of oversight. Both CNN and The Washington Post obtained a redacted disclosure filed last month to the Justice Department, the FCC, and the FTC. It was submitted by Peter Mudge Zatko, who was hired by former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey in late 2020 after a significant hack of Twitter. Zatko, in his complaint, claims that Twitter's top executives allowed many of the company's employees to have access to some of the main controls and sensitive information at Twitter with little oversight. On top of that, he claims that the executives have deceived federal regulators, tried to cover up security deficiencies, and falsely portrayed Twitter's data management in a positive light. Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci announced on Monday that he will step down from his government roles in December after decades as the nation's top infectious disease expert. But he said he's not really retiring, just going to change the focus of his work. Meanwhile, Pfizer and BioNTech have submitted their applications to the FDA for emergency use authorizations for their updated COVID-19 vaccine booster that specifically targets the Omicron subvariants BA4 and BA5. If approved, the updated vaccine could be available to the public by early to mid-September. So by now, everyone's seen that video that went viral of police in Arkansas violently beating a suspect. Well, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson said the Justice Department has launched a federal probe into the violent arrest of the man seen in the video. All three officers have been suspended with pay while the Arkansas State Police conducts a separate investigation. I got the And that's just a bit of what's news for now on Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Look around and please click on one of those donate buttons.